Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Lately, people have been saying we need to look somewhere other than Washington, D.C. to answers to our pressing questions. And I think when they say that, they're primarily talking about frustration with government in general. But that isn't the case overall in many other areas. And we're going to talk about one of those today. We're going to talk about a program called D.C. Greens. And it's putting together a model of developing a food system in that community that really, across the United States, can look to Washington, D.C. and say, well, something's exciting and interesting happening there. I wonder if we can do that where we are. And we're going to talk about some of those things. And it gets into areas even of doctors prescribing fruits and vegetables to people for good health, and even the city council getting involved in making funds available that can help people on not only SNAP and WIC, but also Medicaid, be able to have a coupon to buy fruits and vegetables in the local market, and many more areas. And at the heart of this is a really interesting concept and program called DC Greens. And I'm really happy that this morning to welcome Lily Rosen to talk to us about some of these interesting ideas, because when we talk about farm to table, there's a lot of different ways that food gets to the table. We're not used to thinking about it in all the ways that you're getting into, including, like I said, even doctors really prescribing fruits and vegetables. Lily, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Hi, Roger. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, Lily, I would imagine that when you have to give an elevator speech or when you go back and see family and friends and they say, Lily, what are you doing for a living? And could you explain this organization that you're involved with? I imagine you have some practice because it's not something that most people are used to. What do you tell them when they say, what are you up to at DC Greens? What is DC Greens about? So that's going to be my first question for you. How do you answer that question?
It's a great question. So DC Greens is a nonprofit organization, and we say that we use the power of partnership to support food education, food access, and food policy in the nation's capital. On the food education side, we're really working towards a city where food education is on the menu in every classroom. We do professional development for teachers and how they can incorporate food system lessons into everyday classroom and cafeteria learning. On the food access side, we do a whole variety of different activities, and that's really the space that I work in as the food access director at DC Greens. So as you had mentioned, we run a fruit and vegetable prescription program. We work with farmers markets and health clinics and corner stores and nonprofits across the city and city government agencies to try to make sure that DC residents have access to healthy food. And on the food policy side, we're really trying to help shape what the city's food system looks like so that there is equitable access to all D.C. residents for healthy food options.
Wow. I mean, that's a great explanation, but there's a lot to dive into. Let's go back and start with education before we get into the access and the policy area. So when you say you want to have this information in classrooms, is there a certain grade level that you're shooting for?
Sure. So we actually, we work with teachers at all grade levels, K through 12, and we are really focused on sort of in two different spaces. So one, we're the, in quotation marks, state lead for the National Farm to School Network, and through that we get to work with elementary school teachers, middle school teachers, high school teachers across the city, and then also with partners across the country on how to incorporate those food system lessons into the classroom, looking at things from the school garden perspective, from the cafeteria perspective, and also from the classroom, how food education can really be a strong component of all students' education. We also run a program called Growing Garden Teachers, where we work with school staff, particularly school garden coordinators, but also with other staff who are working with school gardens in the city to share best practices from both within the city itself, but also from across the country on what, you know, sort of what are these best practice curriculum that can be put in place in classrooms that can really move things forward to incorporate food into as an opportunity for learning, not just in a nutrition sense, but also, you know, how is it something that can be incorporated into math lessons and writing and social studies and history? And it's been a really wonderful program. That's sort of one of our foundational programs. We have a cohort of about 50 to 75 teachers who participate. DC has incredible infrastructure. Over half of the schools in the city have school gardens. So we're really fortunate to get to work with so many of those individuals for many years.
So now in the curriculum, so a teacher might every week possibly having some part of the day that talks about the food system or even nutritionally what to be looking at in the foods you're purchasing. How does that work?
Absolutely. So I think it can work in a lot of different ways. For example, there are opportunities to incorporate school gardens into existing Common Core curriculum that's going on in the classrooms already. So there are ways to talk about history, for example, looking at sort of what are native foods to this country, to other countries. There are ways to use math in the gardens, thinking about planting plans, thinking about, for example, we run a school garden market program with several schools in the city where we're helping to supplement the produce that they have from their garden to be able to sell to their classmates and the community members and teachers in the school. And those students have to practice marketing skills and have to think about what the markup should be on those items that they're selling in those school gardens. So there are really many different ways that it can be incorporated.
Can the kids go get their hands dirty? I mean, do they dig and pull weeds and that sort of thing too?
Absolutely. They absolutely do. And that can be the important role that a school garden coordinator plays at a school.
It seems like much of the time that the school gardens would be looking the best, it's when kids are on summer break, though. Is it because, I mean, you do get snow in Washington, D.C., so past fall, it's hard to be in the garden, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that there are ways, with those connections with the cafeteria, for example, that you can make connections for kids that don't necessarily need to be physically in the garden, although they, in D.C., we're fortunate they can be in the garden, at the beginning of the school year through most of November, sometimes even into December, depending on what the weather's doing. And then in the spring, certainly starting sometimes as early as March, but certainly in April and May and then into so in the winter months, there are certainly other activities that you can incorporate, some of, growing seedlings and thinking about how food gets incorporated into everyone's daily lives as ways to use some of those, the same things that you might be able to do in the garden at certain times of year, and other times you can do it in the classroom.
Well, let's shift gears now to the access area. I've seen some materials where you're referring to pharmacies spelled with an F, which tying in the idea that there's actually prescriptions for fruits and vegetables. What's that about?
Absolutely. So we run a fruit and vegetable prescription program. It's a program that was actually started by the nonprofit organization Wholesome Ways. They're a nonprofit out of Connecticut, and they started this program, I want to say, in 2010, and it's an old idea, this idea of food as medicine, but they started working with partners in states across the country, and DC Greens joined as a partner in the program in 2012, and we are the implementing partner for that program here in DC, and we work with five health clinics and farmers markets across the city and with the DC Department of Health, as well as nutrition educators from graduate dietetic programs in the city to provide support so that healthcare providers are actually able to write prescriptions, actual paper prescriptions for fresh fruits and vegetables that are based on a patient's family size and can be redeemed at farmers markets across the city for fresh fruits and vegetables. And we really see it as a literal carrot that allows patients to have a reason to go back to see their healthcare provider on a monthly basis during the program, to be able to work on their nutrition goals. And what we see is this program is, is really focused on individuals who are either at risk for or are experiencing diet-related chronic illness, like diabetes, for example, and that it's really important for those patients to have those opportunities to develop relationships with their healthcare providers.
Wow. So now, in that case, say a doctor has somebody with diabetes and they're not eating as they should. So instead of, again, just writing a prescription out as we all have gone through before going to the drugstore, would they write carrots and broccoli and Brussels sprouts or something? Do they get that specific in an instruction that's on like a pad, like a prescription pad that they take with them to a farmer's market?
So it doesn't get that specific. We think that having that choice for patients is really important, that when they go to the farmer's market, they're able to choose what they want to buy there, that are fruits and vegetables. But they do get a prescription that's specifically for spending on fresh fruits and vegetables. So they get a paper prescription. It has their family size circled on it, and the amount of money that they get is based on their family size. It's just over $1 per day per family member. And they take that to the farmers markets, where they are then able to redeem it for fresh produce.
Now, $1 per day per family member, is there a limit to how many days in a month that they could use that prescription?
So they can use it once a week.
Oh, once a week. Okay.
Yep. It's a weekly refill, and patients can refill up to two prescriptions at a time. If, not everybody's schedule allows for them to go shopping at the farmer's market every week. So we provide that opportunity for folks.
How is that different from the cards that you can use at the farmer's market for SNAP, which used to be food stamps or WIC? How is that different?
Sure. So this is, I guess I would say it's maybe a potentially a supplement to that. So this ends up being sort of similar to the WIC program, perhaps, where the actual sort of physicality of it is our checks that patients are able to spend with farmers at the farmer's market, which is similar to what happens at least here in D.C. with the WIC program. Whereas the SNAP program, as you're saying, they have an EBT card, an electronic benefits card that they use at the farmer's market.
So the SNAP cards are pretty widespread now across the United States. I don't get the impression that maybe WIC not so much. And what about Medicaid? Aren't you in kind of a frontier of being able to have Medicaid recipients also participate in the program?
Absolutely. With the fruit and vegetable prescription program, it does target, we do work with clinics who work with populations, work with individuals who receive Medicaid. And I think we also, with the other program that you had mentioned that we work on our food access side, is the city's Produce Plus program. And that program, one of the ways that it's really innovative is that it is providing access to individuals who receive Medicaid. So somebody doesn't need to spend some of their own money in order to receive that Produce Plus benefit. They're able to show their Medicaid insurance card, and they get $10 twice per week to spend on fresh fruits and vegetables at farmers markets.
Now, I think in that case, the Washington, D.C. City Council, I believe, might be the group, they actually allocated over $1 million, at least in this past year. Isn't that right, towards that program?
In the coming year.
Yes. Oh, in the coming year they got over $1 million.
Yeah, 2017.
How do you convince them that that's a good use of taxpayer money?
I think it was really a very strong effort from across the city. We had the Produce Plus program has been in existence for 3 years, And it's been a program that has spoken to a lot of city residents very personally. We had hundreds of customers calling city council offices last summer, reaching out to city council to say, this program is really important to us. Thank you so much for putting funding towards this. This is allowing my family to eat. This is allowing my family to try things that we wouldn't have wanted to try previously. And I think that because it was it received such widespread support, and there were so many different people from farmers markets to farmers, customers, people who were volunteering for the program, other nonprofit organizations, for-profit businesses who were coming out to testify at council hearings and also beforehand speaking with council members and their staff about what the importance of this program was to them. And I know that that had great impact. I mean, we can see that in the fact that the city council allocated just over $1 million to the program for the 2017 season.
Well, and with your various programs, I've heard that you sometimes have lines of people that are wanting to, you know, participate, to go to the farmers markets and to literally get in line to, you know, whatever process they need to go through to be able to get their coupons, to be able to make the purchases. How many farmers markets are there in the Washington, D.C. area?
There are 58 farmers markets in D.C., 55 of which have farmers that participate in these different programs, including receiving SNAP, WIC checks, as well as the Produce Plus program, the fruit and vegetable prescription program. We really do have incredible infrastructure here. Those farmers markets are in all 8 wards of the city on all different days of the week. It's really an incredible group of organizations that work together to make sure that they are as accessible as possible.
Well, Lily, this is so exciting, and I can see where more people are able to take advantage of the farmers markets, get improve their diets, even if, you know, they're constrained financially, that they don't have much money, and that they have opportunities to eat well. But now let's talk about what effect is this having on the farms. How do the farmers that are selling their produce and growing fruits and vegetables and I suppose meat too, eggs and other things for the farmers markets, how have they been affected, and what's their general view about this program?
The general view has been very positive from the farmer community. I think, you know, you had mentioned just a minute ago about the lines at the farmers markets, and I think one of the things that we have seen with the program is that it really demonstrates how much everybody in this city wants to be able to eat healthfully. There is absolutely, you know, there are people who are willing to go to great lengths, who are willing to get up early and travel wherever it is to be able to go to a farmer's market where there's a farmer who they want to purchase from and spend their money with them. And I think that it's just really demonstrated very clearly how much people want to eat fresh fruits and vegetables. And I think that the farmers are just thrilled to see that. The farmers, you know, we've seen that there have been a slow growth in the number of farmers willing to be at farmers markets in parts of the city that are under-resourced and are considered food insecure by the USDA. We've seen that there have been, I think, 3 new farmers markets that have opened. In D.C., we say east of the river, east of the Anacostia River, which are the areas of the city that are considered food insecure spaces by the USDA. And we've seen that farmers who had never accepted these federal benefits in the past, with the start of the Produce Plus program, are calling us, calling their market managers to say, how do we sign up? Like, how do we sign up? How do we get involved in this? How can we receive these checks? Because they see that it's money that the city is providing to go back into the local regional economy. And they want to be able to take advantage of that. And I think that it's also allowed them to be able to move towards thinking about how to sell to different types of customers as well. We have some farmers who have expanded and changed some of their planting plans over the past 2 years to be able to react to what customers have asked for, different types of greens, different types of produce. We have a very active Chinese American population in D.C. who have been really interested in seeing bok choy at some of the farmers markets, and those farmers have been able to respond and provide that for them.
Well, I would think that this is millions of dollars more money in farmers' pockets. I mean, all the different farmers that are supporting it, because if you start with just the additional $1 million from the city council and you talk about all the other programs, that this would be enabling a number of new farms to get created, I would think. Addition to the farmers that are already in business, hopefully do more business as well. I'm curious, are any of the produce produced within the district that are literally urban farms or greenhouses or rooftops or anything like that that's also producing for the farmers markets in D.C.?
Yes, we've been very fortunate. One of the policy initiatives that D.C. Greens has been able to work on over the past few years was to have an Urban Farming and Food Security Act passed. That passed in 2014, and that previous to that, urban farming had not been allowed in the city, certainly not for sale. And with the passage of that act, it is now allowed, and we do have, I think it's 6 commercial farms in the city, and there are 2 of them that are currently selling at farmers markets. Three Part Harmony Farm, which is located over by Catholic University, and Good Sense Farm and Apiary, which they grow microgreens and mushrooms and honey.
Oh, this is really exciting. We must be leaving something out. What are some of the areas, other program areas that I haven't mentioned so far that you're particularly enthused about?
I think we've done a really good job of covering the majority of our work. I think, something else that, the sort of the way that we work organizationally is through that power of partnership. And we really are interested in trying to leverage the existing infrastructure and resources and talents. And we want to make sure to think about all of the different groups that are already here in place in D.C. There is so much infrastructure that's here, and we have an opportunity organizationally to do some of that work of collaboration to make sure that things like the Produce Plus program can happen, and like the Fruit and Vegetable Prescription Program, bringing together these different organizations to make sure that we're not missing any big opportunities, if that makes sense.
Oh, sure. Well, plus another advantage I would think you would have there is leadership and other activities going on in the community that, for example, I mean, you've got a friend at the White House, and Michelle Obama has spoken out a lot about these kinds of programs. Has she engaged at all or people involved with the programs that she's working on?
So it's sort of a funny story about the founding of our organization. One of our co-founders, Sarah Hallway, was working as an art teacher at Bancroft Elementary, and her students were the ones who helped to first break ground with the First Lady on her kitchen garden. And that is where the Growing Garden Teachers program really sprang from, was Sarah working, trying to be an art teacher and the garden coordinator for this elementary school, and seeing that there were other teachers who were doing this, in silos by themselves, and seeing this opportunity to bring people together to share best practices and think about how we could work together to move things forward for the whole city.
Wow. Well, you must have your own funny story, Lily. You found yourself in a really interesting position. I can tell that your own enthusiasm, just as you were explaining it. How did you get in this job? Is this something you thought you would do someday?
It's something that I hoped I would do. I think that I can credit getting to work here at D.C. Greens to volunteering. I was working in international development before I started here at DC Greens, and was grew up in the DC area, was really interested in getting to work more in the place where I grew up and where I was passionate about what was going on. And I started volunteering with a bunch of different organizations in the city, and started applying for jobs and getting to know people in the space. And when this position at DC Greens opened up, I reached out to all of my network who I had been volunteering with and said, okay, this is the one. And I was very fortunate to be able to get an interview and then get a job here at DC Greens.
So when you get up in the morning and you look at the day ahead or the week ahead at DC Greens, what gets you the most excited about wanting to jump in there and tackle another day? What is it that you get most enthused about?
I think I get enthused about sort of two different things. One is all of the different people who we get to work with. I never have a boring day because I get to work with people at all different parts of the city and all different levels of organizations, with government, with community members, with health clinics. I get to, you know, learn a little bit about a lot of different things, and that's always really interesting to me. And I think I also appreciate working for an organization that is thinking big about how we can look at the food system and thinking big about where our goals are, that, you know, urban agriculture could be a valued element of our cityscape, that food education can be on the menu in every classroom, that doctors might be able to write prescriptions for fruits and vegetables as a matter of course, and not just part of our small program. And that's big, I know, but it really does get me excited and excited to come into work.
Well, that's great. Now, if you just look down the road, say 4 or 5 years from now, how do you hope it has changed? How would you like to see the future different than today?
I think I hope that the cityscape is slightly different at that point. I hope that there is more physical equitable access to healthy food. In D.C., we have parts of the city that have, you know, in D.C. we have wards instead of, you know, not counties, but wards. And, you know, there are some places that have 11-plus grocery stores for, you know, 100,000, 75,000 people, and others that have one grocery store, full-service grocery store, for the same number of people. And I think that if we are able to move forward on that sort of idea of the continuum of food access from farmers markets and community gardens to corner stores and full-service grocery stores, that'll say that we're being successful in our work. If there is more equitable access, then I think we'll know that we're at least headed in the right direction.
Well, then one other thing, we go back to the beginning of our conversation that you identified as what you're trying to accomplish, and that is try to provide some leadership for the rest of the country. And it says that on your website, too, that you want DC Greens to be the model that people could look to in other cities and have ideas on how they may be able to develop their community. If there are people that are listening to this podcast and they want to get involved and they'd like to follow in your footsteps, maybe doing volunteering work or, again, pick up another community around the country and start working on it, where can they turn for information and help about how the next steps that they can take to copy some of the successful programs you've got at DC Greens?
Absolutely. Well, we, of course, always encourage people to visit our website and to reach out to us directly. Our website is ecgreens.org, and we're always looking for people to get involved and to help think big with us about how we can look at the regional food system. I mean, I think that, you know, there are also other incredible, incredible resources across the country. And, you know, we hope that people will look to the Center for a Livable Future out of Johns Hopkins, look to organizations like the Food Trust in Philadelphia and Wholesome Wave and Fair Food, and the list goes on and on and on. People can also, of course, follow us on Twitter and engage with us there at DC_Greens. We're also on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, Lily, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to us on Farm to Table Talk. It's an exciting program that you have at DC Greens, and one that we hope many people copy across the country. So, Lily Rosen, DC Greens, thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you so much for having me, Roger.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.